Good afternoon. In the first place, I want to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity of being here. And today I'm going to speak about black hole radiation spectrum. I'm going to speak about black hole radiation spectrum in loop quantum gravity within the isolated horizon proposal for black holes. So this is a work that I've been doing in collaboration with Alejandro Corici and Enrique Fernández Borja. And then I will begin with an introduction, then I will very briefly present how black holes are introduced in this isolated horizon framework and how can we compute black hole entropy. And then I will present our new proposal for do this counting and the results we obtain with this, which are basically the discretization of the entropy and some implications in the spectroscopy of the black hole. Then I will end with conclusions and future lines of work. So, Bekenstein and Mukanov made on the basis of some heuristical arguments, they obtained a discrete equidistant spectrum for black holes. Then within loop quantum gravity, there are some proposals. For example, this one by Barreira, Carfor, and Rovelli, which obtain a continuous spectrum for black holes. There is also another work by Krasnov who obtained a discrete spectrum also within loop quantum gravity, and there is this recent work by Ansari which obtains a continuous spectrum but with some discrete brighter lines. So we can see there are several proposals, and in general this issue of black hole radiation is still an open problem in loop quantum gravity. So here we are going to present a different approach to the problem. Then how we treat in this isolated horizon framework black holes? Well, we introduce an inner boundary on the space-time manifold before the quantization procedure is carried out. So in some sense, this is an effective treatment of black holes. And we impose the isolated horizon boundary conditions. Then we carry on the quantization and we obtain a splitting of the Hilbert space. So we have a volume Hilbert space whose states are the usual spin networks, and a surface Hilbert space whose states are given by a U1 Chern-Simons theory over a puncture sphere. These punctures are the points of the sphere at which the spin network pierces it. And also these punctures carry some labels that satisfy this constraint that we call projection constraint, that is related with the fact that the horizon has spherical topology. So this is the picture we get for black hole. We have the horizon and the spin network piercing it at punctures. And then this puncture has some labels corresponding to the Chern-Simons theory, but which are related also with the labels of the spin network, of the edges piercing the surface through the boundary conditions. So how can we compute the entropy of a black hole in this way? Well, we just assume that entropy arises from these surface degrees of freedom. So the question we have to answer is just how many different horizon states are there compatible with a given horizon area and with this projection constraint we have presented. And then the logarithm of this number of states will be the entropy of the black hole. So our problem is to count all possible states, or what is the same, to count all possible combinations of labels. But when we want to do so, we have to pay attention to some key points. The first one is the distinguishability of the punctures. One may think in principle that punctures should be undistinguishable because of the diffeomorphism invariant. But in fact, in the quantization procedure, we have to introduce an ordering of the punctures. So we are dealing with ordered sets of punctures, and punctures are distinguishable. And the second point is which are exactly the quantum labels we have to associate with each puncture. So at this point, there is some kind of ambiguity because there are two models, the first one by Domagala and Lewandowski, who say that only one label has to be associated to each puncture, these aim labels. And there is another proposal by Ghosh and Mitra, who claim that there are two labels associated to each puncture, namely M's and J's. But in fact, with both models, we can obtain a common result, which is a linear relation of entropy versus area with a slope that is proportional to this parameter gamma, which is the Barbero-Imidzi parameter. And also, they obtain a logarithmic correction independent of this gamma and with a negative coefficient, minus 1/2. So the only difference between both models is that this slope is different, and when we adjust it in order to recover this 1/4 coefficient of Bekenstein-Hawking entropy, then we obtain two different assignations for the value of gamma. What we want to do now is just make an exact counting of these states. And to do so, we propose to use a computational algorithm based on explicit enumeration. So what we do is just generate all possible combinations of these labels and just count those that satisfy the required conditions. So we want to do so, but we have one problem. The problem is that with this kind of algorithm, the running time grows exponentially with the area, so we are restricted to work in a low area regime. And this is a problem because the ABCK framework was originally formulated in the large area limit. So we are not sure if this model is going to work in this low area regime, and also we cannot naively extend our results to this large area limit. But the fact is that we make the computations, and even though we are working in this low area regime, we obtain the linear dependence of entropy versus area with the appropriate slope, so with the appropriate assignation for the gamma parameter in each model, and we also obtain the logarithmic correction with the -1/2 coefficient. So this seems to point out that the isolated horizon framework is working well even in this low area regime. So this gives us some confidence. But if we look in detail the behavior of entropy as an area function, we can observe an additional behavior, which is a strail-like structure like this. So we see that when we plot entropy versus area, we obtain certain regions of area in which entropy remains constant, and then for some values of area, the entropy makes a jump to another constant value. We can also observe that the width of these steps is constant, and there is an important thing, that is that this behavior is reproduced regardless of the choice of labels we had done before. So with both models, we obtain this stair-like behavior, with the only difference of this stair width or this area gap that turns out to be proportional to the gamma of each model. So we obtain this relation for the area gap, where this chi is the proportionality constant, that takes a numerical value close to 8 times logarithm of 3. This is just an approximation, and I just wanted to comment it because in the original Bekenstein conjecture, there it appears some logarithm of k, where k is an integer number. But, of course, we cannot claim that this is really a logarithm. It's just a numerical coincidence. But the fact that we obtain this behavior in an independent way of the choice of labels makes us wonder if this behavior comes from a deeper structure of the theory, we just wonder where this behavior comes from. Then to study it, we just look at the structure of the horizon area eigenstate degeneracy for the black hole, so also introducing this projection constraint. Then we plot the number of states for each value of area, and with this, we obtain this structure. So this was quite surprising. We just see that there are some bands where the degeneracy accumulates and some regions where the degeneracy is much lower, with peaks of the degeneracy whose height grow exponentially. So when we take the logarithm of this number in order to obtain the entropy, we just get this linear behavior. And we also see that there is, these peaks are evenly spaced, and the spacing between those peaks is exactly this area gap we had obtained before from the stair. We can also point out that this degeneracy at the peaks is several orders of magnitude higher than the one in this valley region. So, with this, we can give an explanation for this behavior, for this stair-like behavior, but we can also go beyond and extract some implications in spectroscopy. So what we are doing is just to consider all possible transitions of states of a black hole, regardless of what is the concrete quantum configuration. This is just because we don't know which are the dynamics that are producing this process of radiation, so we cannot restrict all transitions to just single decays of punctures or something like that. So what we do is just consider, if we have an initial state here, we are going to consider transitions to other possible states with lower area. It's the only condition we impose is just that the final state has belongs to a lower area band. But we don't bother about which is the concrete state we have here or we have here. We are allowing change in the number of punctures and every possible configuration. So when to study this spectroscopy, we can make a first approximation, which is just to consider that these bands are narrow. Then what we get is that we have only states for the values of area that coincide with the peaks. This is equivalent to have an equidistant spectrum of area with an area gap given by this expression we had obtained. So this is the same that Bekenstein and Mukhanov had when they made his analysis. We can do exactly the same and obtain a fundamental frequency. And then the radiation spectrum is supposed to be a discrete spectrum, equidistant, with integer multiples of this fundamental frequency. So we get an analogous picture to Bekenstein and Mukhanov. We can notice that this frequency has the same dependence on the mass of the black hole as they obtained. And, this coefficient is not the same they obtained, but is of the same order. But if we take into account that our bands are not narrow, then there are some important qualitative differences. In what we obtain. So the first difference is, of course, that the spectrum is not discrete, because we have some suppressed regions of degeneracy, but not forbidden regions. So these frequencies we are obtaining are not meant to be the only frequencies, but just some statistically preferred frequencies. And then the picture of black hole spectrum we expect is just some equidistant brighter lines sticking out from a continuous background spectrum. So this is the main result of the talk. And we can also expect some broadening of these lines because the bands are not narrow. So we expect these brighter lines with some broadening over a continuous spectrum. So in conclusion, we have made a spectroscopical analysis at the kinematical level within the isolated horizon framework. We don't make any assumption about dynamics. And considering all possible transitions, we arrive to the conclusion that in the isolated horizon framework, we can obtain a quantum gravity imprint in the black hole radiation spectrum. So we have some observable qualitative effects. We have not made a detailed analysis of the concrete degeneracy structure we have. We have it numerically given by the algorithm, but we are only presenting some qualitative effects we expect. And also, the fact that this frequency we had obtained is proportional to this Barberi-Mizzi parameter opens a window to an hypothetical observational determination of this important parameter in the theory. So, just to end up, the future lines we are thinking about are, the first one in which we are already working is just the optimization of the algorithm in order to be able to reach larger area values and just see if we can extend our results. We also want to make an analytical study of this degeneracy structure, and maybe with this see if this value of this guy proportionally constant is really a logarithm or not. It's also remaining the complete detailed spectroscopical analysis with the data we have, and we just wonder if there is some thermal behavior in there or not. And the final thing is that we are in contact with the Grupo de Astronomía y Ciencias del Espacio in the University of Valencia, which is part of the Integral project, and we just want to search for some primordial black holes in the gamma ray burst spectrum in order to test if we can find some of these behaviors. So this is all I wanted to say today. Thank you very much.